My name is Lois Beckemeyer, and I'm from Tacoma, Washington. My background is that I am a teacher by profession. I taught junior high mathematics. I raised five children, and I am an elementary school counselor currently. I went back and got my master's degree at PLU a couple years ago, and now am counseling in elementary school. And so you're sitting there and you're saying, so what's she doing teaching chancel drama? All right, and I think that this is a very important part of who I am, because what I'm also saying is this is the sort of thing that you all can do too. It's not just something that I do, but that you can do. I got involved in doing this because it was something that needed doing. My husband was a parish pastor for many years on the south side of Chicago. And we had sort of fell together because we had a young vicar who came to our congregation with his guitar. We had a contemporary folk choir in our church. And this attracted many, many young people to our congregation. And we started taking the kids out on tours to various churches where they would present their music. And we put together whole church services, and eventually ended up, we would tour them like for 4 or 5 days, and we'd do 6 or 7 church services. Well, in connection with this, we got started with dramatizing gospel epistle lessons. Just little mini dramas that we would do. The kids loved it. The congregations were just enchanted by this sort of thing that enlivened what we were presenting. And it just became it snowballed. It became a very involved thing. We started doing more drama. It became that we did this, all the sermons for our church services then were in drama. So we would always prepare a chancel drama for each of the services that the contemporary folk choir would do. And it really became fantastic. Some of the young people in the congregation started writing dramas or sections of things that we could use dramatically. And the congregation was very excited about it. Now, I have no special training in drama, true confessions, all right? But I enjoy doing it. I enjoy very much working with young people, and I do primarily work with young people. Right now, I'm living in Tacoma, Washington, and I teach the high school Bible class in our congregation, which has a built-in group for me. And so every once in a while, I'll say, hey, why don't we do a chancel drama? Who wants to do it? Now, my policy, as far as chancel drama is concerned, is anybody who wants to do it has an automatic part in the play. Okay? You're in. Now, if my play, or what I'm thinking about, doesn't have enough parts, I pick a different play. Or I write in parts. And another true confession, I'm not averse to changing plays around to suit my needs. And so I do, sometimes I'll add in parts, I'll separate parts and make two out of one, things of that nature in order that everyone has a chance, an opportunity to be in the play or to take part in some way if they so desire. One more thing about chancel drama that I emphasize, and that is that lost my train of thought.
One more thing that you emphasize?
Yes, and it'll come to me in a moment.
All right,
we're good. All right, now let me give you I'll get to it. I'll come back to it. Let me give you a little bit of an outline of what we're going to do this week. We're going to be having I'm going to be making presentations on Monday, that's today, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Wednesday is our 4th of July celebration, and all classes are off for that day. So we will presumably have those 5 days. What I'd like to do today, generally introducing what is chancel drama, Next, tomorrow, I would like to talk about some of the places where you can get materials and that sort of thing. On the third day, which would be Thursday, I would like to talk about some of the problems and the costs of chancel dramas and how to go about, for example, working with getting copyrights and so on. And then the fourth and fifth day, we will primarily be working for some manner of presentation. Now, we do have a slot for Sunday. If, how many of you are going to be here on Sunday? Great, but not all of you. You will?
Till
Vespers?
I leave.
Well, it'll be Vespers in the evening. No, you'll be gone. Okay. So we will be doing some preparation for a presentation on Sunday night. But if you're not going to be here, don't worry about it, because there'll be a lot of other things we'll be working on in between then. And if any of you, as we go through some of these things, want to pick up on something and offer it in some other way somewhere along the line at Holden, you know, just say the word and we'll put it together for an evening vesper or anything that you feel you'd like to do. And maybe we can put that together. All right, the one thing that I did want to emphasize, which is now, of course, coming back to me, is that in doing chancel drama, one of the things I think is really extremely important is that the chancel dramas are not a performance. And that's part of my emphasis as far as choosing anyone who wants to do it can be your performer. It is not a performance as such, but it is a participation in worship. In other words, you are in the same on the same level as the organist or the liturgist or anyone else who takes part in worship. And I think this is a help in thinking of it this way, because for one, you know that the Lord has got to bless this. It gives you a real feeling, okay, Lord, as the kids are growing up or as you are growing up, and I'll use the term kids because I've worked a lot with kids, but by all means, do not limit your thinking to young people. Ladies groups are really enjoy doing this type of thing. But if you can get both men and women, some kind of a men and women's group that will get involved in it, this is just really super. Choirs lend themselves to working with this type of thing, combining some kind of choral presentation with a chancel drama. And so depending on where you're coming from, it can be adapted to almost any kind of group that you are interested in. It's just that lately I've been working more with young people. All right, now I'd like to, I have various kinds of dramas, and I'm kind of clustering them, and we'll work through different ones. You know, we're not just going to work on one or two that we are going to prepare for something special, but I'd like you to get a feeling of what can be done, what the different options are. Now today, I have a number of kind of mini dramas that could be used. Now, they're the type of thing that we have used in church, like in between the gospel and epistle lessons, or even in an informal worship service. Some of you maybe belong to churches that have contemporary services. They might fit in extremely well to that. Some of them are more formalized, so that you get the feeling, well, they would fit in better with my type of church. Be aware that not everything I present will be suitable to what you're doing, you know, or what your church is like, or what type of activity you're involved in, but adapt it, okay? Or say, that's not for me, you know, I wouldn't try that, but I might try something else. Now, I'm suggesting to you that you would try it. Think about it, okay? As we talk about some of these. All right, I'm going to be passing these out now. I think I'll do it this way. I'll just get a couple volunteers. And maybe for the first one, I'll just ask one person. Who feels like being a guinea pig right at the moment? All right, Ruth, come on up. All right, Ruth is going to be the MC there, all right? Now, one thing I like to do is I like to use the entire church. You know, if you're in the church, fine, use the church. Don't feel yourself confined up here in front of the altar or anything like that. You get the use of the entire church, all of this space. If it's an outdoor setting, use the group, use the situation. Don't just confine right to standing right in front. Okay. Miss MC, would you stand up here, please? Or even on the up above there. And I am a man. Okay.
All right. We're the Hope Lutheran Players, and we'd like to present some short dramatic sketches for your consideration. We hope that this afternoon, while you are, excuse me, sir, we're trying to present a play here, and if you'll just sit down, perhaps.
Oh, what kind of play?
Well, why don't you just go sit down and watch?
Well, can't you just give me some idea of what it's like?
Well, we're talking about love, peace, forgiveness, and how men would act out of love for their fellow men and God. Why don't you just go have a seat and work it on?
Well, have you had any success?
Well, yes. Some.
Well, that's strange.
Why?
Well, I heard about a guy who tried the same thing. But
what?
Well, it didn't work out too well.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess people just didn't take to it very much.
What happened?
They crucified him. All right, and then you would immediately sit down.
I didn't know you last month.
I got her shook up.
It's a real stopper.
All right, now, of course, that would fit in well into some kind of a Lent service, something like that, or during the Lent season, or any time, actually, you know. But in the right setting, of course. Okay? I have one similar to this with Dale and Sam. It can be Eloise and Jane. Who would like to do this? Who would like to try it? Just read through it. We don't care how it works out. And remember, you're all seeing this for the first time, so, you know, just like Ruth. Oh, I wasn't expecting him. Okay, here you go. You would come in probably from opposite sides. And I don't know, when I've done them, I've usually, use your own ideas on this. I usually have them seated two different places. You know, you come in and you're sitting there at the beginning of the service. Don't make any big deal about how or where you come in from. Or if it's more convenient, have them come from the front seat, you know. But I think you two probably would come in like you're meeting as friends from opposite ends. Oops.
Who
wants to be who? Dale and Sam, okay?
So we just start off?
Yeah.
Man, I just can't believe that's where it's at. I just can't believe it.
Hey, what's wrong? Where have you been?
Oh, I was just at a big political rally. The candidate was up there telling us all a pack of lies. And what bothered me the most was that they really sounded just like the truth.
Yeah, they can spread it on thick.
And then in came this gang of hecklers. They were really out to break up the rally. They were carrying signs like honesty, truth, and peace, all yelling up at the platform. Finally, everyone was screaming at everybody else.
So what'd they do?
Well, the cops finally came in and threw them out. And they really worked those guys over, but good. And that was worse yet.
Yeah, everything seems to be in a mess.
Every paper you pick up is full of trouble and violence. Look, thieves in government, war in the Middle East, pollution. Every place you look, there's trouble.
You really think this is bad, huh?
Well, of course. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, so maybe there's something we can do about it. What do you think?
By God, I wish I knew.
Hey, maybe he's the answer.
Okay, by the way, any of these materials, if you stay with me for the 5 days, I'll give you samples of everything, whatever you want. If you're going to be gone before, Nan will harass me and get some, if you want any copies of any of this stuff from me, okay? All right. Now, I think it's really important that the lines be memorized. Sometimes groups will do it, and they'll try to do it with written scripts. It's impossible to do anything like that well, I think, with a script in your hand. Just as Sam and Dale here were confined because of holding the scripts in their hands. Now, if you had had the lines memorized, you know, instantaneously, you could have done a lot more with movement. And I like to see lots of movement. Just standing and talking is very boring, all right? Standing and talking. Their voice sound, did you notice they had really both of them did very well with their voices in handling the excitement. You know, he came in angry and upset, and you responded to that. And so that's really sharp. Now, when you're working with people who've never done this before, and I have a feeling that maybe you have done some or have been interested in it at least, if you're working with people who have never done it before, they may read that very flat and boring. And you have to get them excited. Now, you're not going to get them excited until they've done it a couple times. See? And as long as they have the script in their hand, you're not going to get them excited into that part. Once they've got their lines memorized, then you start harassing them. You know, you are angry, you are this. You know, what's happening here? Get them to understand the interaction that's happening. You're upset, or whatever. Then they can start bringing this out. If you can get them to feel that emotion of excitement or upset, then a lot of the voice expression comes naturally, and hopefully the arm motion will also, the hand action. Now that's not always true. Sometimes you have a person who, no matter what you say to them, will still do the lines like this with their hands down. All right. I am not averse at all to say, okay, now, you're standing like this all the time. Now, let's try some of this. How about some of this? See, that's a different motion. Or this. Or this. And sometimes I get very stilted even by the time they're actually doing it. They still may do that sort of in a stilted manner. But I don't care, because the next time around, they are so much better. And they begin to flow, and they get the feel. But they're doing it, they're participating. And that, to me, is really exciting and really important to get them to use. And sometimes you have to say, well, on this line, stand like this, and on this line, stand like that. But it does add variety, and it helps them to realize that motion is important. And they do get better, they do improve. And one of the fun things that I have as I worked with kids, like through those 4 high school years, I usually have them for 4 years, and they come in as little motor mouths, you know. We're the Hope Movement Players, we would like to present to you our blah, 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 you know. And when they go out, they are really very capable, and I see so much growth with them. And that's exciting to me, too. Okay. Any questions?
I'm just reminded of a story, because I worked with a teenager one time who was doing that very kind of thing, too, a very stilted kind of thing. And I've been trying to get him to to look natural, to be natural. And he had his device where he'd say freeze. Well, we were on the break, and I saw, you know, being the way I really wanted him to do in the work. And I said, so-and-so, freeze. And he froze. And I looked at him, and I got everyone else to come. Hey, no, look how natural. And I said, I think, but don't move, but just think about the way you are now. How does it feel? It feels good, it feels natural. Well, you can do that when you're on stage. When you're presenting yourself.
All right. I've had this happen to me where I've had a little girl who just stood there like this, you know, and I'm saying, Lisa, this is exciting. Get excited. I am so excited about this. I am so upset. I'll say, Lisa, if you don't do this, Mrs. McIntyre, I just can't do that, you know? I say, stop, Lisa. You know what you just did? You know? And all the kids are saying, yeah, you know? And then while she's in the mood to get her go back and project that same anger that she had at me into the part she's playing.
Mm-hmm. How often does it happen that they do it really well until the performance?
The actual truth is I have never had someone not follow through on the performance. I've never had a kid blank out on lines. Now I've had them, you know, forget a line. But I haven't had them go, you know, where they really got lost. And I rarely have them where they have frozen. You know, they may tighten up a trifle, but they don't. And I think one of the things is the emphasis on participation in the service.
It's not a performance.
It's not a performance. The congregation is not coming to see you perform. You are no Miss Big Shot or Mr. Big Shot. They are coming to hear the Word of God, and you are, in your way, projecting the Word of God to them. You are helping to explain in a deeper, more sensitive way what God's message is to us. And I think they take that to heart, and we always, like just before the presentation, we always meet 15 minutes early or something before the church service starts. And that's one of the things that I talk about is, remember again, this is a worship and we are participating. We are preaching the gospel, and then we have a brief prayer to ask God for his blessing on what we're doing. And I've never had anybody blank out. I won't say that I never will, but I haven't. And I've done it for about 15 years.
I was just seeing the teenagers the other day were out in the yard practicing their song, and they just sang it beautifully, and they got in to sing it at dinner, and it was awful. Then I heard them out in the yard singing it again. It was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, come on, you know, you can do it.
Yeah.
If you just don't perform, if you just be natural.
Yeah. And I always sit right in front, you know, I mean, not conspicuously, in amongst the congregation, but I'm always right in front with the script. And I really emphasize to them, I am following the script completely when we actually do it in church. Because if you're stuck, I'm there with the word. And no matter how softly I say it, you will hear it because you are grasping for that word. And nobody else hears it. And they don't. One young fellow was doing something about Pontius Pilate, and he was very profound about, he was supposed to say, I did all these wonderful things, you know, he was very, very haughty, and I did all these marvelous things, and I did this, and I did that, and I built the aqueducts. Yes, the aqueducts. And he was absolutely sensational. Of course, the cast knew he had blanked it, and they almost fell apart, but... but anyway, they pick up on that very quickly.
Where do you practice? How much?
All right. Now, for something like this, I'd go, you know, after they have it memorized, you need to go through it at least two or three times, for something brief like this. And of course, I would hook something like this, you know, like if you have a Bible class, or if you have a choir group or something, hook it on to that so that they're not coming out just for something that's this small. But I go over it at least, once they have the lines in their eyes, two or three times, something like this, just to give them the comfort level. Now, if I do a full-length chancel drama, I figure 5 weeks with two practices a week is the least I can get by on. Mm-hmm.
What is the longest you've done in terms of a chancel drama?
You mean the longest length play?
Yeah, longest.
20 minutes. Yeah. You've done some of these?
Yeah, I've written one, and I've performed a few. And the biggest problem I found, particularly with the one that I wrote, there were just a couple of us, and it works out real nice because you can always find time to get together. But with larger groups, the biggest problem is commitment. I mean, you know, you got 10, 12 people, and you try to work out these schedules. And high school people, like everybody else, have 10,000 things to do. You know, and coming together for performances, but the practices.
Practices. Okay, that is a problem. Yes, I agree with you 100%. I did a play the end of May, and I thought to myself, why don't I remember this? Never do a play the end of May with high school kids.
Graduation.
Because they are so busy, you know, all the concerts, all everything is right at the end of May. And I thought I was out of my mind. I did one on the Good Samaritan, and it was a movie play. I don't know, maybe some of you have read it. And the man who it falls among the thieves, it was in modern time, the man who falls among the thieves walks in the first 2 seconds of the play and falls, collapses on the in front of the altar and lies there all through the play up until the last 2 minutes of the play. And then the Good Samaritan comes in right at the end. There's a lot of interaction in between. The Good Samaritan comes in at the end, and he then helps the man who has fallen ill. The two players never were both there at the same time. I had promised the fellow that fell in front of the altar, I knew he was very busy, and I said, if we give you this part, all you have to do is fall and, you know, drop dead in front of the altar, and you have four lines at the end, and you're okay. He promised, yes, he would do that, but he wouldn't be able to be there very much. Well, the way it happened was Good Sam also had many commitments, and he had a very short part, but it was important. But the two never met. But the other kids involved in the play all knew what each of the other two were doing, and so they would fill in for him. So that they could interact together, and the other kids knew exactly what the other one was doing, so they were able to project that, and when the play came, they did it together. I wouldn't advise doing that. That's a poor way to do it. But that was my mistake. I should not have committed the kids at the end of May, which is a bad time for them. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I know you emphasized in doing your chancel drama memorizing parts. Have you done anything with Grace's Story Theater or Reader's Theater, using that within the chancel situation?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have not done a lot with that. And by the way, if you're interested in Reader's Theater, I'll do a commercial plug for Ruth Schultz, who's going to be doing some work with that during the week too. So. And she, I know, has done quite a bit of that. The one thing I do...
Could you define Reader Theater for us before we go any further?
All right, Reader Theater is, and maybe Ruth could do a better job of it, but Reader Theater is where you take the roles and you do it in a more impromptu way using the scripts.
Oh, using
the scripts. And doing it, trying to do it in as concise a manner, but... Sometimes it's, is it always done only?
There's always a script present. Uh-huh. And so that it depends, it varies a great deal. And whatever we do is going to be very much on script because people have only read it once before. Mm-hmm. But in some kinds of Reader's Theater, the script is just present and maybe referred to by a narrator. Otherwise it's staged with live. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all the spectrum is just very good.
All right, here is something that I have done and done this strictly from a reader's point of view. How about you two ladies? Would you mind doing it? Just coming up here and entering the room?
I am not in very good voice.
All right. You're going to beg off for today. All right. Anyone else? Someone who just... and here's something that you can do, and I can suggest this on your own. How about doing the one on the top? Judy and Lisa, okay? Now, this is doing a gospel and epistle lesson. It is just putting that into kind of a formal way of interaction between two people. And, for example, you could do this and here using the scripts. And you can probably tell that I did use it this way. And it's just, it is precisely the writing of the epistle lesson. The epistle lesson, but put into more of a choral reading type setting.
So we're addressing them.
Yes.
My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action.
This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth. This is how our hearts will be confident in God's presence. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our heart, and that he knows everything.
And so, my dear friends, if our heart does not condemn us, we have courage in God's presence. We receive from God whatever we ask, because we obey God's commands and do what pleases him. This is what God commands.
That we believe
in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another.
Just as Christ commanded us, whoever obeys God's commands lives in God, and God lives in him. And this is how we know that God lives in us. We know it because of the Spirit he has given us.
All right, now see, that would be simple to put together for a church service. Now that was an epistle from 1 John. There's one here too that for two young men who do the gospel from John 15. Let's see. Okay. Would you read Mike? Would you read boys? Why don't you just stay where you are and just read it from where you are? Vicky, would you read Vicky? Just that short one at the top. And girls. Okay, I'll have to read with you. I don't have another script. All right, this is from Acts. The first lesson for the day was from Acts 2, 42 to 47. Go ahead, Mike.
The believers in Jerusalem devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers.
And fear came upon every soul.
And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had many things in common.
And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of good with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people.
And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. It adds a lot more color, see, to doing the lessons. And it's really kind of fun. Now, we use these a lot with, like on our choir tours, where we had the whole group of young people, the singers and the guitarists and everybody, you know, and they were boys or girls. Now, I think it was obvious, especially to you two, that you need to practice, right?
Yes.
Because when you're on the together parts, it's like a choral reading. It has to be together. When you have an individual part, you can be as flowery and lovely as you want, you know, depending on, of course, what the idea you're trying to project. Or you can become very angry if you're speaking individually. But if you have to do that together, it has to be the same. You know, you have to project the same tone quality and the same timing. And so that also needs practice, and sometimes can be fairly difficult. Especially if you try to memorize things like that, then the timing has to really be carefully worked out.
Do you write these things?
Well, the Lord wrote that, you know. I mean, that is strictly, directly from the Bible.
Orchestrate, what do you call it? Or, you know, divide up the parts? And
usually I do. I script it. But anybody
script
can
it,
do
is that.
That
what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
I script it, but anybody can do that, you know. All you have to do is have a feel for who's talking and what they're saying, whether it sounds like a heavy voice or it sounds like a light voice, or it sounds like an individual, or, you know, just get a feel for it and it'll flow. Mm-hmm. But you can do that with any of the lessons, really. Mm-hmm.
I guess the reason I brought that up was I taught dramatics this last year at Concordia Edmonton, and mm-hmm. it was the kind of thing where we had productions going all the time, but we were also responsible for one chapel in the month.
Mm-hmm.
And to interject some drama, and we found because of the schedule of students and working with both high school and college students, it was really hard to get a lot together and a lot of rehearsing. And I found either using the story theater technique or else, you know, reader's theater, where it didn't require as much rehearsal, mm-hmm. but it worked, you know, very well in having them to also memorize lines for that.
Yeah, that's very true. If people don't have the time, then that's way of getting around it. By the way, I said I'd have everybody give their names, and I haven't followed through on that at all. What is your name?
Marilyn Scott.
Marilyn. Okay, maybe we'll just stay with first names. Is that comfortable with you?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll zero in on the last names later, because I'm having an awful time with jumbling names. How about you in the end? Emily? Okay.
Richard, Bill,
Sue, Coley,
Doris,
Lois,
Ruth,
Karen,
Devin.
Okay. All right. Here's another one, and this one. Now we did do as a memorized script rather than this again is based on the. On the lesson for the Sunday. Now, this is from Reformation Sunday. And this was based on the lesson, but it took liberties with that lesson. Okay? Now this was a memorized script, and let's see if we can get, let's see, there are four parts here. Can I get some volunteers? We haven't yet volunteered. How about you? Come on. Some? All right. How about you, Emily? Come on. Come on, there's going to be a crowd. Who else? Who haven't I gotten yet? Oh, you. Come on. Okay, here you go. I'll be narrator just for a second. Okay.
Yes, you can.
All right. Now, this, of course, could be acted through, too. Now, try to imagine how it could be used, done, so that we would use more than just, you know, you four standing there, okay? Let's see, number 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? Paul's letter to the Roman Christians emphasizes God's free gift of forgiveness to us sinners, a concern that became a focal point for Martin Luther in his dissent against church practice.
Now, we know that everything in the law applies to those who live under the law, in order to stop all human excuses and bring the whole world under God's judgment. For no one is put right in God's sight by doing what the law requires. What the law does is to make man know that he has sinned.
A rule, a curb, a mirror.
That sounds familiar.
Just a little Martin.
Just a little Martin Luther talk from his world-famous catechism.
But according to St. Paul, the law doesn't straighten us out with God.
But God's way of putting people right with himself has been revealed. It has nothing to do with the law, even though the law of Moses and prophets gave their witness to it.
God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ, because there's no difference at all. Everyone has sinned, which puts them far away from God's saving presence.
Come on now, that's big talk. But I know that Christ has promised to save me and take me to those golden mansions on high.
Not by your doing.
What did you say?
I said it's not by your own doing. Nothing you've done earns credit with God.
Yeah, but I think of things I don't do. I don't hurt anybody. I'm not on drugs. Actually, I'm a pretty straight guy.
Big sins, little sins, backbiting.
Backbiting.
Backbiting, anger, gossiping. God sees no difference. That is, if it's your intent to earn God's good graces.
It is by the free gift of God's grace that all are put right through Jesus Christ. He sets them free.
Free gift sets me free.
God offered his son so that by his death he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. God did this to show that he is righteous.
In the past he was patient and overlooked people's sins, but now he deals with their sins to demonstrate his righteousness.
So what's this righteousness thing?
Getting squared away with God in spite of our sins and goof-ups, having your slate wiped clean.
This way God shows that he is righteous and puts right everyone who believes in Jesus.
Well then, what can we brag about?
Nothing.
Nothing? How do you figure that? Then it has nothing to do with obeying the law or good works?
No, it's based on our believing.
We conclude then that a person is put right and justified with God through his faith, and not by obeying the law.
All right, now this is the type of lesson that is very hard for people to concentrate on, you know, ordinarily. That is a difficult lesson. Breaking it up like that with some of the thoughts, some of the questions, you know, help for people to follow through to understand a little bit more what they're doing, what they need, what they're listening to. And thank you, you did a nice job of that. Wasn't so painful, was it, Emma? Okay, a few more other things I'd like to, just for the sake of giving you some other ideas about mini dramas. Here's a couple that are kind of quick. How about you two just reading in it? It's I and double I. Okay? Now, this takes place at an auction, and it says, this may be done very effectively as voices in the darkness. So this could be used, it'd be a good Holden Village type mini presentation. Okay. What do you want for that item there?
It's not for sale.
What do you mean? It's not for sale. Everything's got a price tag.
No.
Go on. What are you asking for it? 100?
Oh, don't be silly.
All right, 500.
No way.
1,000?
No.
5,000? My final offer.
It's not for sale, I tell you.
Everything's got its price. Quit being so stubborn.
Tell you what, I'm giving it to you for free.
What?
I'll give it to you for free.
Oh, don't hit around with me, guy. I ain't no charity.
I'd like you to have it, that's all.
Okay, you're on. I'll give you 50.
Oh, please, don't joke. It's worth much more than that.
Okay, I repeat my offer. Name me the price.
I've told you it's not for sale.
Tough as this guy you are.
Here, you could really use this thing. I'd like you to have it. Consider it a gift.
What? You giving it away?
Sure, take it.
Unless we set the wrong one, then I don't want it.
It's perfectly all right. I just like giving things away.
Yeah, but if it's worthless, I mean...
Not worthless, priceless. You could never pay for something like this.
You're trying to quote me a figure. Yeah, but we'll work something out.
And then there's a narrator who says,
"Oh, pardon me, go ahead."
But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Power belongs to you and to the power of darkness. Narrator. Then all the disciples left him and ran away.
It reminds me of in the 60s in the church in Milwaukee, scripted the whole, all of the readings that were done during Lent for the Wednesday evenings and for the Friday. And the congregation, it was a part of the bulletin. And the person who was Judas throughout Lent and Jesus and so on.
Uh-huh.
And they would sit in the congregation, and when it came time to do those lengthy readings, the pastor was the narrator and took the narration tight verses. But otherwise, the congregation told one another the story, and when the crowds would speak, then the whole congregation would speak. It was
wonderful.
It was very exciting and moving
to
take part in that, and everyone was involved.
Great. I have here one that's put out by Bread for the World, and maybe we'll do that later in the week, where the congregation becomes involved in it, and that. But I'm sure this was very effective because it would be in that Lenten season setting. I have another script here which is just really neat, and I think I'll hold up with that for another time because I do want to have you at least read through the one lesson that we're going to do next Sunday, and just to sort of walk it through. Okay, who's going to be here on Sunday again? We have no male? Oh, we have one male. Okay. Okay. All right. I tell you what, let's read through this. I'll pass out scripts to everybody and we'll read through it. And then we'll work on it more another day because we'll just have barely enough time to read through it for today. I have 5 minutes yet. And we'll... Everybody have one? Okay, you want to read narrator, please? And who wants to be God? Well, female God. Anybody feel like being God just for reading through?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
You be God and Moses. Let's have a male Moses. Would you like to be Moses? Go ahead, narrator.
Today's reading from the Old Testament comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 2 to 8. After the Israelites left Egypt, they came to the desert of Sinai and set up a camp at the foot of Mount Sinai.
All right. So this would be the narration. Now the people will gather, in other words, anybody that's going to be here that day, we'll gather, and we'll either be sitting on the edge here, or we'll be standing off to the side as the people gathering at the foot of the mountain, okay? Now you always have to figure to adapt it to whatever your setting is, see? Now if you have a church that has several steps going up into the chancel area, that's super. Then you've got a great mountain, you know, and you can have the people gather down below. Now here, this is a minimal type rise. And so you have to kind of spread things out a little more and adapt to it. Now ordinarily, if you would have a high chancel and it would be built in, God would then stand here to speak to Moses. But if God is going to stand here and speak to Moses, Moses is going to be standing right in front of him, see? So we would probably have God
come up from one of the chairs over there and come here and begin to speak to Moses from behind the altar. Now, as he becomes more conversational, and Moses then, after the people come in, would come in from the back to respond to God. Now, as Moses and God become more conversational, God can come around to the side and converse with Moses. But you have to, you know, kind of watch your setting. One of the fun things about, like, working with the young people on these choir tours was that each church was a different setting. And they would have it all worked out for our home church. But then they'd have to be ready to adapt to the new setting. All right, now, what's different? And, of course, each church is so different. And always you have to adapt. Now, where is so-and-so going to go at this point? Or who's going to do what? Okay, let's finish reading through. They just set up camp and people have gathered. Where are you going?
Oh, I read that. Moses!
The Lord called to him.
Moses! I have a message for you to take to the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob.
And God's servant knelt down out on the mountain and listened.
You saw what I, the Lord, did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you as an eagle carries her young on her wings, and brought you here to me.
Yes, Lord. We have seen the almighty power of God as you delivered us from the Egyptian army in a most amazing way.
Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own people. The whole earth is mine, but you will be my chosen people.
So Moses went down and called the leaders of the people together.
I will tell you what the Lord commanded me. Obey God and keep his covenant, and we will be his own people and dedicate ourselves to him. We will serve him as priests.
Then all the people answered together,
We will do everything the Lord has said.
And Moses reported back to the Lord.
They listened, and they heard.
Okay. Now this one is very brief. The second lesson which we have is more lengthy, and we will involve some of the little children in a song into it, and it will be quite interesting. And it involves also, it can involve up to about 8 people in roles. So there are role involvement for everybody who is interested in taking part.